You're listening to the Andre Segovia Show.
This is the Andre Segovia Show, and I welcome you to November and the program. I am a big fan of Thanksgiving. I've said it many times. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday of the year. I know a lot of people look at Christmas, some of you look at Halloween. Me? It's about Thanksgiving. It's about being thankful. And I'm thankful for all of you that are tuning into the program. And I must say, this is where I get really upset, is where I hate how corporations have destroyed Thanksgiving. Because we just start diving into Christmas and forget about Thanksgiving altogether. And what used to be Black Friday is basically now Black Thursday, and in some cases even Black Wednesday. In other words, skip the day that we set aside to thank God and just be grateful. Let's screw over that day and whatever dinner you have plans on, because we need you to go spend money. So that's an unfortunate gripe of mine, but I do not want to be all down on that right now. It's November. I want to enjoy it. We're that much closer to Thanksgiving, and I couldn't be more excited about it. And this is the first episode in November, so you know what that means. Yes, it's the news roundup. So, we're going to be going over the headlines of October 2019, and I gotta say, this is among the most diverse set of headlines I've seen in a while, so it's a good thing. So it won't be the very boring segments that I always do. Yes, we do have the obligatory pile of how good real estate is doing in certain areas, but not where you might think, so we'll get to that in a moment. But first, if you didn't know that I wrote a book, that means you're not really listening to my show. But yes, I wrote a book. It's called The Andre Segovia Show, Transcripts of the Early Days. And I interviewed my past self in a previous episode that I recommend you check out. So you can find links to my book at the show notes at www.theandresegovia.com. And also, I recommend that you check out my haunting, bone-chilling story of the transaction that almost killed me. I did not intend to make it a three-part series, but that's the way it turned out. So I recommend you check that out just to find out how far I'm willing to go when you choose me to be your agent. And I had another announcement to make, and I just forgot it. So let's just move on with the notes before I start forgetting what other headlines I got to go through. I got a bunch of different headlines spread out on my monitors here in my command center. So let us start going over the news of October 2019. I actually want to start with this one first. This is one of the most recent ones. And by the way, before I dive into this, and I guess this is kind of what I remembered. This is around the time of the fires here in California. Every time it says, oh yeah, it's autumn all over. It's like, yeah, it's hot in autumn. No, it's not. It gets cold, Andres. It's like, do you live in the same California I do? Because last I checked, I still feel 90 to 100 degree weather in November and sometimes in December. And it's also fire season. Sure enough, that's exactly what's happening. So our thoughts and prayers are with those that are affected by the fires. So hopefully our first responders that's are out there, thank you for first responders and the service that you do. We'll be out there to fight this blaze, or these blazes, and shut them off before they can do much more damage. Okay, so let's get to the headlines that basically rebuff the whole notion of about a recession that's going to ruin housing. Because In August and some parts of September, you heard me talking about the recession, and I even did a special off-the-record episode that you haven't heard. Go join off-the-record. But I did address the whole recession thing that everybody was being concerned about, and I was basically saying that it's more of a ploy from the side of the media than it is anything else. So this is an interesting article from MarketWatch.com. The title is, A Recession is Coming. Nobody told housing stocks. Housing market indicators point to smooth sailing. That's exactly what happened, because the last U.S. recession in 2008 was triggered by imbalances in the U.S. housing sector. But if there's another downturn in the near future, it may happen in spite of the market for residential real estate. Equity investors have been spooked by a series of bearish reports on the U.S. economy in October, including surveys from the Institute for Supply Management that show that American manufacturing sector contracting and services sector slowing significantly, helping send the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 2.9% and the S&P 500 2.4% and NASDAQ 1.8% month to date. But data on the housing market has been trending in the opposite direction, with new home construction rising to the fastest pace since 2007 in August and pending home sales trending up as interest rates fall, improving affordability. That is exactly what I've been trying to get out to you folks, and I'm so glad that some media outlets, including from the Access Media or mainstream media, are bucking the trend that are trying to sabotage the economy and telling it for what it is. And in conjunction with this, there is another one from Bloomberg.com. The housing market's rebound is no mirage. Real estate can be a lagging indicator, but recent reports suggest it will continue to underpin the U.S. economy. Housing is the most interest rate sensitive sector of the economy, meaning it stands to benefit more than any other from the Fed having cut its target interest rate by 0.5 percentage point since July. Indeed, mortgage rates have fallen by more than a percent point over the past year in anticipation of the Fed easing, providing much needed relief to residential real estate sector that contracted for 6 straight quarters through June. So that's another positive sign in that. And this other one is from Forbes.com. Another one, right? From another big name outlet. This one's titled, "The Biggest Housing Boom in History Has Just Begun." This one's kind of like a narrative story, so I'm only reading the headline for Forbes. If you really want to get into this article, it's interesting, but it reads more like a novel than anything else, so that's why I don't want to get much into it, because I'll get sucked in and have to read the whole thing, but I got many other headlines to read. But this is interesting. You can check this one out by Stephen McBride, an article at Forbes.com. "The Biggest Housing Boom in History Has Just Begun," and he makes the argument for that. So all these articles in October are to highlight exactly what's going on and to give you some of the good and the bad about this. You can check out, let's start off with an extreme part. This is from San Diego. We're going to be jumping around from the West Coast to the East Coast in these headlines. This one's from the dailymail.co. So there's a landlord asking in the listing for rentals $1,050 a month to live in, get this, a shed. It's a 200 square foot room. He's charging $1,050 on the listing to live there. This is in San Diego, folks. And the property realtor demands that potential renters have a credit score of 650 or more. The property is located on the San Diego's University Heights. The tiny, undated studio is 200 square feet and comes with a small kitchen and bath. It was recently updated. The home does have freshly laminated floors and an air conditioning unit. Requirements to rent the property include having a credit score of 650 or more, while also having no prior legal evictions. Potential renters are to also have an income that is 2.5 times the rental amount, so roughly $31,500, and the shed was originally listed for $1,100. So this is, that it is outrageous. But what did it rent out? I don't know. I haven't found an update to this because I didn't get the address, but it's really interesting. But let's go something a little more realistic though, because that's pretty silly. That is, I knew it was going to happen. LA Times does this to me all the time. I'm going to have to read you the headline because they're blocking me from being able to read it. This is the legendary Bel Air estate Casa Encantada lists for the highest price in America. $225 million for the legendary Bel Air estate Casa Encantada. And this is in Los Angeles, folks. The most expensive property listed in America. followed closely by, now we're jumping over to the East Coast, this from the New York Post, the $98 million penthouse that's breaking New York City real estate records. And this article is actually more of a tour than anything else. It's actually a really beautiful penthouse. You gotta see it. It's a five-floor penthouse at the 172 Madison Avenue. It comes with a private rooftop infinity pool, and it's the most expensive listing in New York City. And it's a penthouse, folks. And it's, wow, it is beautiful. You know, for sights of a city, this is beautiful. Yeah, I recommend you check it out. All these links, as usual, will be in the resources section of the show notes accompanying this episode at www.theandressegovia.com. All right, let me close some of these windows so I can get to the next articles. Because we talked about the housing market, we talked about some of the listings, outrageous and otherwise. This is the housing boom. We talked about that. Now, this is an interesting article that Baltimore area posts the highest September home sales in 9 years. But we're in a recession, Andres. How could that be? Well, there you go. Baltimore Metro's area home sales prices in the month of September jumped nearly 7% over September 2018 to post the highest September level of the decade. A monthly report on residential sales data showed the median sales price of a home in the area was $287,750 last month, with the number of closing posted 3,172, about 14% higher than September 2018. The data was provided by Market Stats by Showing Time based on listing activity from Bright MLS. It is used for a monthly snapshot of residential sales volume in the metro area that includes Baltimore City and Baltimore, Howard, Hartford, Carroll, and Arundel counties. So that's interesting. That's actually a really positive thing, especially since some have seen Baltimore to be more on the lower economic levels. But this is actually a good sign that people are able to afford to buy homes, and they're boosting the home sales. That means people are moving from, say, rentals to homeownership or are trading up, and that's actually a positive thing. And I'm happy to see that for the Baltimore area. So we're just positive news all around. This flies in the face of everything that we were being told about in August, everything that we're being told about in September. So whenever you hear anything about the recession, it's because the financial sector is the one that's in panic, not housing. I can't stress that enough, folks. So for those of you that are looking to buy your second home, this article that just flew in from the radar or in through the wire is from rizmedia.com, and they're saying this is the research that can help you decide where to buy your second home. And it's not in America, folks. They have a list of the best countries in the world to own a second home report. And the top five countries are Estonia, Finland, Iceland, Lithuania? I can't even pronounce this right anymore. And fifth, Portugal. Wow, that's pretty interesting. So you want to see the entire list? Links to that, of course, are under show notes of this episode. Now let's get to the articles that are least interesting, because I wanted to start off with things that that basically updates to the previous topics of discussion that I had in the last two episodes of the real estate news roundup. So this is in relation more to the area that hits closest to home, and that's LA. And it's that there are so many homeless camps that the Los Angeles area leaders want Gavin Newsom to issue a state of emergency. This comes from HeraldMailMedia.com. Facing a deepening quagmire over homeless encampments, Los Angeles elected officials are increasingly looking to sweeping statewide initiatives to shake loose solutions. The latest proposal from the Los Angeles County Supervisor Mark Ridley Thomas and City Councilman Joel Buscaino would have the governor declare a state of emergency on homelessness in California. Supporters view such a declaration as a novel strategy to free up state and federal funding typically reserved for natural disasters such as earthquakes or wildfires, and to suspend or streamline the regulatory hurdles that often slow down shelter and housing development. It could also block NIMBY opponents from using environmental reviews to sue and delay or block homeless facilities from opening. But some question whether an emergency declaration would be merely symbolic, given President Donald Trump's rejections of more federal funding and Gavin Newsom's commitment of $1 billion for local homeless programs and support for more regulatory relief. And it's an unfortunate thing that it is a very serious thing that's happening in Los Angeles. And the progressives blame the rising cost of rents in the area, which technically had nothing to do with it. But, well, now progressives blame landlords that are basically forcing tenants out through their outrageous rentals, rental rates in Los Angeles that's contributing to homelessness. Look, there's a lot of factors that contribute to homelessness, okay? But I gotta point this out. Los Angeles has rent control. And Los Angeles is struggling with one of the worst cases of homelessness that we've ever faced in Los Angeles. So if rent control doesn't work here, why on earth are we installing it statewide? Just giving you a heads up, folks, because every area where rent control is installed has seen increase in homelessness. San Francisco and Los Angeles being the worst offenders. And now that we're going to install it throughout the state, what do you think this is going to mean for them? For the other cities that didn't have it? Those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. So this is unfortunately an unfortunate thing, and we'll see where this lands. But we do hope that that we find solutions to address homelessness and be able to help those that are able to get out of homelessness and get into and to become more productive members of society. And now we enter the article that just absolutely angers me. This is from the mercurynews.com. The title of this says 17% of young home buyers regret their purchase, a Zillow survey shows. More than a fourth have regrets about their mortgage, saying they rushed through the process. This is the whole optimistic versus pessimistic view about the glass being half full or half empty. This article could have very well read 83% of young home buyers are happy with their purchase, a Zillow survey shows. No, not that 83% are happy. That doesn't fly in the face of the narrative we're trying to structure. We're trying to say it's a bad thing. 17% of young home buyers regret their home, their purchase, a Zillow survey shows, instead of 83% of young home buyers are happy with their new purchase. You see how these things go? It's so ridiculous. I don't even want to dive into this dumb article just because it's such a silly premise overall. This is exactly how things are skewed all the time. That's why whenever you see these articles, like, oh my goodness, housing's going down. Look at the breakdown, folks, because people are trying to push a narrative. Journalistic integrity doesn't exist anymore. These are activist journalists that are trying to paint a narrative, and they keep trying to hit housing because the progressives don't want you to be a homeowner. They want you to be a slave to the system by renting forever. It's like, well, do you really want to get into a 30-year commitment with a mortgage? Okay, when are you going to be done paying off your rental? Never? No way. Okay. And that's that. And that's the way the news goes, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, this was the most diverse set of news we've seen in a while, right? So I'm happy about that. What I'm not so happy about, and I'm not going to dwell on it on this one, I'm just giving a tease for what's coming because I'm constantly giving updates about the situation here in California with the signing of Assembly Bill 1482 that Gavin Newsom signed along with other ones. And it's there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and I want to devote certain episodes to that. I'm just not sure if I'm going to release them in November, where I want to be more thankful, or if I'm going to release them in December. But the point is that this is information you must know, whether you're a homeowner looking to be a homeowner, or even you're a tenant, whether you're a real estate professional or you're not a real estate professional. This is information that you must know. And if you feel that people are going to benefit from this kind of information, by all means, please like, share, and subscribe. And most of all, share. Share this to anyone and everyone you know. I've been having stone walls and blockades being put up through different social media outlets because this kind of information is detrimental to an agenda that they're pushing. So unfortunately, YouTube has throttled me. Twitter, in some senses, has blocked me. Facebook and Instagram refuse to let me market out or promote the episodes that are more useful. They'd rather I promote things that, like, I'm talking about health and wellness, which is fine. I want people to know I'm talking about health and wellness, but that's not the pertinent information I'm trying to get out to people. I'm trying to get out to them information about real estate, and they keep blocking me, citing these ridiculous codes because I'm using some trigger words in there. Real estate, sales, buying. It's like, those are trigger words? That whatever, they say that I'm violating people's rights with it, which is pathetic. So they found some dumb ways to stonewall this information from getting out there. So I'm pleading with you, because the power is in your hands to be able to spread the word, because the algorithms are not letting me. But they can't stop you altogether just yet. So while you still have the power to do so, by all means, please spread the word, not just here in California, but throughout this country of ours. Because my information goes has wide range of impact. But for those of us here in California, the most important information that you must know, especially here in LA, is I'm going to be covering more information about the statewide rent cap. And I'm devoting an entire episode just to that. It might be what I consider a PSA type of episode that comes out on a Thursday instead of a Monday. That's not really part of the main episodes, but I do want to put one out there. There might be at least two before this year is done, because we're getting more information now, because most of everybody did not know anything about it up until the governor signing it. What was he signing? And now that he signed it, we have a better idea of what we're anticipating. It's not pretty, but it's what we got to deal with. And other cities are jumping on top of this to try to make it even worse. I just got a notification about this, that Burbank is trying to establish something on top of the rent cap from the statewide, because there are certain cities, as I already mentioned, that already have rent stabilization ordinances in place. And the state only puts basically like a foundation or a template. Cities can do something more restricting. And in LA and San Francisco, they already are more restricting. So the statewide rent cap really means nothing to those of us that already have rental property under rent control. But everywhere else is being affected now, and some cities are free to establish their own ordinance that could be stricter than what the state is passing. So I'll keep you up to date as to all that. So please stay tuned to the Andres Segovia Show for all things related to that. And I'm also going to be talking about what Section 8 is all about. So I'm going to be doing a Real Estate 101 segment. I'm actually applying two of them, but most of all, this one that about Section 8, because now there's rules about landlords not being able to refuse Section 8 tenants outright. What does that mean? What does that mean for your property? And what you can expect to deal with, because some people are being targeted already through lawsuits because of phishing schemes that people are doing over the phone to people that don't even have anything to rent out, but they're asking them, are they taking any rentals? And it's like, oh, I'm not taking any rentals at this time. Oh, you're discriminating against Section 8 tenants. What does that mean? I will cover all that. So that's a tease about what's coming up. A lot of information that's been coming out. And honestly, I have to be straight up with you. When I started this show, I had content scheduled out until around this time of year, since March. And I kept asking myself, how on earth will I be able to continue generating new, fresh content once I run out? Well, I can tell you that my original pre-production plan, I probably only done a third of it, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So it's amazing that I didn't think I was going to be able to have so much to address, but I'm happy I do. And I also want to extend an invitation. You'll see it for those of you that are listening to the show. I want to invite some of you over to Off the Record. And I intend to open up registration to those that want to see what's going on behind the scenes, to take a deeper dive into issues that are unrelated to real estate, or are related in some sense, but are considered too politically hot potato to talk about, because advertisers get upset about it. I'm not even advertising yet, but that's also why, because I don't want them to control what I can say. But I also understand that not everybody wants to engage in certain topics because they are not looking to engage in them. So that's why I'm inviting you to join me in those conversations. But until then, please stay tuned for a lot more information coming, because there's a lot of craziness that's going to be happening between now and January 1st. But for now, I'm calling it on this episode, because I'm done and I don't want to extend any longer than it has to be. So I thank you for tuning in. Be safe out there, be thankful, and I'll see you on the next episode.